Now, I have comprehensive research material to craft an engaging and accurate opening article. Let me write this first section of the unit study. D-Day happened because Germany ran out of gas, fighting Russia on June 6, 1944. Something extraordinary happened on the beaches of France. Nearly 7,000 ships, warships, supply vessels, and landing craft crossed the choppy waters of the English Channel. By the end of that single day, more than 160,000 American, British, and Canadian soldiers had stormed ashore on five beaches with code names you might recognize from movies: Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juno, and Sword. This was D-Day, the largest seaborne invasion in human history. But here's something that might surprise you. By the time those Allied soldiers landed, Nazi Germany had already lost the war. The soldiers just didn't know it yet. To understand why D-Day happened when it did, and why it succeeded, you need to look thousands of miles to the east, to the frozen battlefields of the Soviet Union, where Germany had already burned through most of its fuel, soldiers, and military strength. The story you usually hear if you've watched movies about World War II, you've probably seen D-Day portrayed as the moment that defeated Nazi Germany. Hollywood loves this story. Brave American and British soldiers charging onto beaches, facing German machine guns, and saving the world. It makes for exciting films. This version isn't completely wrong. Those soldiers were incredibly brave, and many thousands died that day. But this telling leaves out something important. By June 1944, Germany was already running on empty. Literally. Their tanks, trucks, and airplanes needed fuel, and Germany was desperately short of it. Where did all that fuel go? Most of it was consumed fighting the Soviet Union in the east. Germany's biggest mistake. 3 years before D-Day, on June 22, 1941, Adolf Hitler made what many historians call the worst military decision of the entire war. He invaded the Soviet Union in an operation called Barbarossa. Germany sent over 3 million soldiers across a massive front, stretching from the Baltic Sea in the north to the Black Sea in the south. At first, things went well for Germany. Their fast-moving tank divisions, called panzer divisions, swept across hundreds of miles of Soviet territory. They captured millions of Soviet soldiers. Hitler believed the Soviet Union would collapse within weeks. It didn't. The Soviet Union was enormous, by far the largest country on Earth. The farther German armies pushed east, the more the land seemed to open up before them. Supply lines stretched thin. Trucks broke down on terrible roads. Fuel ran low. And as winter approached, something terrible happened to the German war machine. The oil in their engines began to freeze solid. They had no antifreeze. Horses died in the cold. Guns stopped working because the lubricating oil inside them froze. By December 1941, German forces had reached the outskirts of Moscow, the Soviet capital. Then the Soviets counterattacked. The Germans were pushed back 200 miles. Though few people outside of Germany knew it yet, Hitler's dream of a quick victory had died in the Russian snow. The war that ate Germany's army. What happened next, over the following 2.5 years, was the bloodiest fighting in human history. The Eastern Front, the war between Germany and the Soviet Union, saw battles on a scale that's hard to imagine. At the Battle of Stalingrad in the winter of 1942-43, an entire German army of hundreds of thousands of soldiers was surrounded and destroyed. Germany lost 1.5 million men, 3,500 tanks, and 3,000 aircraft in that single campaign. From that point on, Germany was always retreating. By the summer of 1944, just as the Western Allies were planning D-Day, the Soviet Union launched its own massive attack called Operation Bagration. This operation destroyed more than 30 German divisions, over 450,000 soldiers in just 2 months. German military historians later called it a catastrophe of unbelievable proportions, greater than that of Stalingrad. Here's a fact that might change how you think about World War II. Roughly 80% of all German soldiers who died in the war died fighting the Soviet Union, not the Western Allies. Running on empty Germany had a serious problem throughout the war. It didn't have much oil of its own. Oil is what you need to make gasoline for tanks and trucks and fuel for airplanes. Without it, a modern army simply cannot fight. Germany tried several solutions. It got oil from Romania, a country that joined the German side in the war. German scientists figured out how to make synthetic fuel from coal, which Germany had plenty of. And before the war, Germany had even received oil from American companies, something we'll explore later in this unit study. But fighting the Soviet Union burned through fuel faster than Germany could replace it. The vast distances, the constant battles, the endless need to move troops and supplies, all of it consumed enormous amounts of petroleum. By the summer of 1944, the German war machine was, as one historian put it, not only figuratively, but even literally, out of gas. This is why, when Allied soldiers landed at Normandy, they noticed something strange. The German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, was almost nowhere to be seen. Germany had excellent airplanes. What they didn't have was enough fuel to fly them. Why D-Day happened when it did so? If Germany was already losing, why did the United States and Britain invade France in June 1944? The answer involves some complicated politics. American and British leaders knew the Soviet Union was doing most of the fighting and dying. Soviet leader Joseph Stalin had been demanding for years that his allies open a second front in Western Europe to take pressure off the Soviet Union. But American and British commanders kept delaying. Some historians argue this delay was strategic. Let the Soviets and Germans weaken each other, then sweep in at the right moment. Others say the Western Allies simply weren't ready for such a massive operation until 1944. Either way, by early 1944, Soviet armies were advancing rapidly toward Germany. American and British leaders worried that if they didn't act soon, the Soviets might liberate all of Europe by themselves and reshape the continent without American or British influence. As two American historians wrote, it became imperative to land troops in France and drive into Germany to keep most of that country out of Soviet hands. D-Day, then, wasn't just about defeating Hitler. It was also about making sure the Western Allies, not just the Soviet Union, would have a say in what Europe looked like after the war. What this means for you understanding this history matters because it shows how complicated real events are compared to simple movie versions. D-Day was an act of tremendous courage by thousands of soldiers, but it happened at a particular moment for particular reasons, including the fact that Germany had already exhausted itself fighting the Soviet Union. This doesn't take anything away from the bravery of the soldiers who landed on those beaches. But it does remind us that in history, there are usually many causes for any big event, and the story is often more complicated than the version we learn first. As we continue this unit study, you'll learn more surprising truths about World War II, how certain decisions were made, who was and wasn't invited to help plan them, and how different countries remember the war differently. History is full of perspectives, and understanding multiple viewpoints makes us better thinkers. Speaking of perspectives, the country being liberated on D-Day was France. You might assume French leaders helped plan their own liberation, but as you'll discover, France was deliberately kept out of the planning, a decision that still stings today.